This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
It's an honor to welcome back to this studio, live right here on Rose Hill Drive, Jody Kilbasa. He is the director of the Virginia Film Festival, and that's online at vafilm.com. Welcome back. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks a lot.
This is, I've been telling folks, this is the first of your monthly visits. You'll come in every month, and we'll just talk movies and talk film, and we could do this for years. So I'm glad you're here, and we've been looking forward to it. I sort of pitched the idea before this year's film festival, and you said, that'd be great, but let me catch my breath and get through this first film festival first. So how was it?
Well, you know, I think it went over very, very well. We broke an attendance record this year, which I
Fantastic.
Was excited to be able to be a part of. And I think we really, really were able to attract a large following in the community and really engage the community. It's something that I really had hoped to do this year.
Yeah, absolutely. And we were talking before we went on the air. I asked you, when will you announce the theme for next year? And you had a very interesting and what I think is an exciting answer to that.
Well, I think we're not going to have a theme next year or after that. It's going to be the Virginia Film Festival, and we're going to screen really, really wonderful films and hopefully not be encumbered by a theme. Some people might see that as a road to go down, and I think after time it's run its course, and we have a wonderful opportunity moving forward to screen some of the very best new films that are out there, along with some of the great classics, and not really be boxed in by any particular theme. Now, that being said, we will explore themes from time to time as sidebars during the festival itself, but it's not going to be an overriding theme above the title, so to speak.
You could have a particular venue at the festival that has films from a particular theme, but yeah,
exactly.
It won't control
politics,
the whole festival.
You could explore various cultures. There's a number of different things that you could look at any given year.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Probably is going to be driven a lot by what might be very topical out there.
Yeah, that's actually very exciting. And we were talking about how this is it sort of opens up the theming the festival every year because presented a bit of a branding problem because the brand then became the theme, which was always changing.
Essentially, it became almost larger than the Virginia Film Festival itself, and we are the only festival that is called the Virginia Film Festival, so I'd like to make sure that that continues to strengthen out there in the film world.
Yeah. Now, locals who've gotten used to the festival always being a theme, we're going to have to get used to that, but I don't think it'll take us too long, because I think this is actually really exciting.
Well, good. Good. And I hope so. And I think that, again, since we will, you know, we'll explore sidebars of themes, I don't think they'll be missing anything in that regard.
Jody Kilbasa, he's the director of the Virginia Film Festival. You can learn more online at vafilm.com. Did you have a favorite film or moment from your first Virginia Film Festival this year?
Wow. It's tough to just for me to settle on one, but I think that, I was particularly proud of the family day that we had. We had over 2,500 people that actually came down to the Paramount Theater to watch our screening of the Pixar shorts, the 20th anniversary of The Little Mermaid, and then the LeBron James documentary, More Than a Game. And we had an interactive family fair outside, kind of recreated a red carpet experience for them. More Than a Game received a standing ovation,
wow,
which was remarkable to see a documentary receive that.
Yeah.
You know, but again, it's a very inspirational documentary about LeBron James and the Fab Five, and sent out a great, strong family message, and that really did my heart good to see that many children and families out there. And a woman came up to me during the screening of Locked Out: The Fall of Massive Resistance, and she said, "I want to thank you because I've been living in Charlottesville for 20 years. This is my first time at the Virginia Film Festival, and I've seen three films today." And she said, "Thank you for making it so affordable, and in some cases free." And so that, again, also did my heart good, too, to hear that.
Absolutely. Over, what was it, about 19,000 people participated in the festival?
A little bit over 19,000, which was really quite a jump from the previous high of 14,300.
So, wow.
Yeah,
gosh. So an all-time attendance record under Jody Kilbasa's new leadership as the director of the Virginia Film Festival, vafilm.com. Jody, let's talk a little movies here. And
sure.
We're going to talk about... not you know, top 10 favorites or anything like that, but I like the way you phrased it. These are some films that you never grow tired of.
That's right. You know, I get asked a lot, what do you think are the 10 best films of all time? And I just, that's just overwhelming to be able to say that.
Yeah.
But I think that films that I never grow tired of, I think one of my favorite films of all time, frankly, is The Wizard of Oz. I mean, from being a young child to today, I can still watch that film whenever it's on television. I cannot not watch at least some of it, if not all of it. I think it was wildly successful in every way that it set out to be. And I think that's how I tend to judge films, is not what I want the film to be, but what was the director trying to do, and what were the artists involved in the making and the creation of that film trying to achieve. And I think as a fantasy film, it has all the elements. And it holds up today. I mean, that twister is frightening. The witch is scary.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not hokey. And when you think of the special effects that they had back then in relation to what they have today, I think, you know, it doesn't show its age.
There's not a CRG moment in that.
No, there's not, you know, but I mean, from the Munchkins to just everything. And the acting is phenomenal. The music is great. It holds up. It has its scary moments even today that, you know, I remember my daughter, the first time she saw it, we actually saw it in an outdoor screening that I was putting on, and she watched it all. She was 3.5 years old at the time, but from behind my back, holding on to me when The Witch came out. So I think wildly effective film.
And what was that, 1938? Is that right?
1939.
Which was a big year.
70th anniversary, the golden age of Hollywood. Films like Gone with the Wind and Annochka and Mr. Smith Goes to Washington that we screened during the festival.
They were all
as well.
That same year, right? Yes. 1939?
Yeah, 1939.
What was in the water in 1939 that these... What was going on, you think?
It's just one of those things. It was an incredibly effective year for cinema and some of the great classics.
Was The Wizard of Oz, we're talking with Jody Kielbasa of the Virginia Film Festival, vafilm.com. Was The Wizard of Oz, when it came out, as big a movie? Did they know, oh my gosh, this is one for the ages, this is an instant classic?
No, it was not immediately as effective as it's become over the years. And a lot of that had to do with just sort of fit into a classic slot. But I don't think it was quite the overwhelming success. I mean, there was a lot of legend out there when it was shot because of the Munchkins and their sort of wild shenanigans behind the scenes and everything like that. So there was a lot of buzz and gossip about the film. But I don't think that it had that opportunity. I mean, another film that's a perfect example of that, which is on my list, is It's a Wonderful Life, which actually didn't do all that well at the box office originally when it came out.
Really?
It's become this, you know, incredible holiday classic. But again, I think that's another film that's extraordinarily effective, and I can't see it without tearing up about Zazu's petals and this and that, and, you know, the whole thing in
my
the
mouth's
film,
bleeding, Bert. My mouth's bleeding. Zazu's petals. What do you know?
Exactly.
Merry Christmas. Oh, yeah, that's definitely at my... The top, if I had to pick one movie that I could go to the desert island with, it would be that one.
Yeah, it's
just unbelievable.
You know,
so powerful.
And it can be considered to be sappy and over nostalgic, but, you know, when I just watch that film and I go, wow, that's just amazing film. And, you know, you just sort of want to be like Jimmy Stewart in that film. He has his faults and his shortcomings, but, you know, what a great guy.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, The Wizard of Oz was based on a children's book that had been popular for a while. Where did It's a Wonderful Life come from? Was that just Hollywood screenwriters at work? Or?
You know, I would have to go back and take a look at the origin of that, because I'm not familiar with where it actually, you know, began in terms of a screenplay. And I'm embarrassed to say I should probably know that. So,
But neither one of them were huge hits at the time. That's interesting.
Certainly not It's a Wonderful Life at the time, more than anything. And just over the years, it's become a holiday classic, as everybody's aware out there. And
at that time, too, didn't Hollywood produce a lot more films than they do now? Something along the lines of a Bollywood, that they were just churning films out left and right?
Absolutely churn films out, because there was, you know, the population just constantly went to films, and there really wasn't anything else. There wasn't television, obviously, at that point. There was radio, and radio was, you know, losing an audience to film in many cases.
Interesting. So, we're talking with Jody Kielbasa of the Virginia Film Festival. If you have a favorite film that's on your list, why don't you give me a call, 977-1070. What else is on your list of the films that you would never tire of?
I would never tire of The Endless Summer.
Endless Summer. I don't know that one.
It's a surfing documentary.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah.
Yeah. Which,
saw that a long time ago.
Chronicles a couple guys going around the world in pursuit of the perfect wave. And my brother was a surfer. I was not really as a kid growing up, but I remember him introducing me to that film in the mid to late 60s. And it to this day, it's respected as one of the best documentaries out there. And again, was a film that tried to do one thing, which was to celebrate the sport of surfing, which they did very successfully. And it's got it's a great watch. It really is. And the music that's attached to that and the feel of the movie and the title's perfect. The Endless Summer. You just wish the summer would go on and on and on in pursuit of this wave.
And it literally is just one wave after another. These two guys who are surfing around the world, right?
Well, I mean, it's a little bit more than that. They meet some interesting people and they go around the world. And I think there's some classic scenes when they're in Australia where they hear that there's some of the best surf and they keep going from town to town in pursuit of the wave and it's flat as can be. And the guys always say, well, you should have been here last week, and that becomes a refrain for them. But it's a fun film.
The movies he never tires of. We're talking with Jody Kilbasa of the Virginia Film Festival. What's next?
Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. One of the great films that celebrates America, Americana, Frank Capra film, Jimmy Stewart. Where you just we just screened it at the Virginia Film Festival, and we had over 450 high school students. And you know what was really really great was about a week later, Richard Dreyfuss came to the University of Virginia, and he's out talking about civic responsibility and going to political science classes at colleges and social studies courses in high schools. And he went into one of the Charlottesville High School and said, how many of you kids have seen Mr. Smith Goes to Washington? And the entire class raised their hand, and they had just seen it the week before, which made me feel so good.
That's great.
Really, really a wonderful film. And of course, we had Liza Mundy from the Washington Post and CNN's Candy Crowley in there discussing it, and Professor Larry Sabato from the University of Virginia. But really just, a very idealistic film about the way it should be in America. And I think one that's constantly timeless as you deal with politics. You're constantly talking politics on this show.
Yeah.
And, after you see this film, you go, well, this is the way that it should be.
Yeah.
It's not realistic. It's overly idealistic. But gosh, wouldn't it be great if it was that way?
Yeah. And dirty politics and corruption in Washington is nothing new.
No.
They made a movie about it in the 30s.
Well, when they screened this film, Capra screened it on Capitol Hill. And
no kidding.
Really upset Harry Truman. Apparently, he was really, really upset about it. And he almost got into a fist fight later on at the press party. So it doesn't paint a pretty picture of Washington.
Yeah, but it reminds us of our ideals. And that's what's so great about America is that hopefully, we're always working towards those ideals. We're talking with Jody Kilbasa of the Virginia Film Festival. You can learn more online at vafilm.org. And the phone lines are open if you want to share with us the movies you never tire of. Tom is on line one. Tom, you're on with Jody. Go right ahead.
Hi, Coy. Hi, Jody. I've got to tell you, as you know, that generally when any book is brought to the screen, it's a disappointment, and especially if it's a classic book. But you honored, I think, in the past, Harper Lee's novel, To Kill a Mockingbird, one I never tire of.
Yes, and you're absolutely right. That also would make my list. Is one of the things I think that Coy prefaced this with is this is a list that will change. And the second I get out of here, I'm going to go, how could I not say To Kill a Mockingbird? Or how could I not say this other film? And it's very true. And it is an incredible film. Interestingly enough, about 3 years ago, I used to run the Sarasota Film Festival, and we brought in an independent film. And the young woman who played Scout in the film, who that was her first film and really her last film until she did this independent film some nearly 50 years later, was in Sarasota in support of this independent film that she had done. And she had been doing community theater for a number of years, which was remarkable because at the time she came out with this, her first time in film, this wonderful role playing Scout in it, and then pretty much was almost never heard of again.
She's actually been on this radio program before.
That's right.
And I can't remember her name, but she lives in Richmond.
The name escapes me as well, too. Yeah.
And she's very much travels the country and promotes literacy among young kids and encourages kids to read. And thanks for the call, Tom, and I totally agree. And one of the things I like most about To Kill a Mockingbird, the acting, the script, the music, it's all top rate. But I love the fact that it's literary. Like you feel like you're in the book. It's not the Hollywood blockbuster type of movie. They have real respect for the literature. And they sort of tip their hat to the writers and the filmmakers, tip their hat to the novel itself, which isn't always done. Sometimes you see them, they'll run away from the book, and other times they really embrace it. Like, I'm thinking of, I saw recently All the President's Men. All the King's Men.
All right.
Yeah, based on the Robert Penn Warren novel, which I wasn't crazy about the movie, but you could really see they really did try to embrace the novel, and it was really literary.
Yeah, well, they were very effective also. The music, Elmer Bernstein did the music for To Kill a Mockingbird, and I remember, again, I brought him into a festival years ago, and he was talking about how he composed the music for this and that he thought that it was important to have the sound of children and toys in the background and wind chimes and all that sort of stuff, and that's what that kind of music is behind it that sets the scene so appropriately for so much of the film.
We're talking with Jody Kilbasa of the Virginia Film Festival. Laura is in Charlottesville on line one. Hey, Laura, how are you? Happy Monday.
Fine. How are you? I love that you guys are talking about film. One of the more contemporary ones that I could watch over and over is Driving Miss Daisy. I just think the acting is so phenomenal between Jessica Tandy and Morgan Freeman, and that's one of my favorites that I could put on any time of year.
Yeah, absolutely. What a great suggestion. Did that win the Oscar that year? Or he won the Oscar, didn't he?
I believe he won the Oscar. Jessica Tandy's just a remarkable actress as well, and so missed. And again, what a wonderful film. I mean, there's so many. That's the great thing about this kind of type of discussion is it literally could be endless. And I think that, you know, as I leave here today and I hear some of the callers coming in with films, I'm going to say, oh my gosh, how did I leave that out on this.
Laura, thank you for the call. We're talking with Jody Kilbasa of the Virginia Film Festival about films that he will never tire of, and you can share yours at 977-1070. So All the President's Men was on your list as well.
All the President's Men, yeah, had a huge impact on me when I was in junior high and high school growing up and paying attention to the Watergate scandal and reading the book and then, you know, the film. And there was just something very exciting and very compelling about that film. And it's interesting to watch it today. I mean, it's tough to watch newsroom films today because everything is so dated, from the phones to the typewriters to everything. But nonetheless, it's really a fascinating film. And I also like both Redford and Hoffman in the portrayals.
I thought it was interesting. I heard an interview with Hal Holbrook where he said that he wasn't interested at all in this film because it was such a small part. And then they finally convinced him to do it. And then it turned out to be one of his most memorable, next to Mark Twain, maybe one of his most memorable characters. What else is on your list? We have time for a few more.
Sure. Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. Just a remarkable, sort of a different Western, actually, at the time when it came out. And again, a fun movie, great score, fun acting, and great vivid characters. And the final scene, Frozen, and the way they shot that film, going into sepia tones, and then the freeze frame on Redford Newman rushing out, you know, to face the Bolivian soldiers at the end, you know, and the dialogue. More than anything, that was very contemporary, and that whole period sort of launched all these films with these sort of anti-heroes, people like Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid,
Bonnie and Clyde,
yeah. You know, in MASH, that type of thing. So I really, really, really like that film. Another buddy film that the two of them did, The Sting, is an all-time favorite as well. A couple other films. Animal House. It's the definitive.
It's just fun.
It's just fun.
It's a fun movie.
It holds up. There's lines from it that you quote constantly. The characters are memorable and are burned, seared into your brain. And it's just, you know, I can't help if I'm channel surfing at night and that film's on. You just got to stop and watch it. It's very tough to turn off.
Now, was that big when it came out?
Yes. Yeah.
That was a blockbuster.
Yeah, I think that was a big hit when it came out. Yeah.
Got time for just one or two more.
Looking at this, My Man Godfrey, which was we screened this year during the festival, and
I don't think I've ever seen that.
It's a wonderful film, and again, a film that takes place during the Depression era, as a classic screwball comedy, and essentially about a guy that's a homeless guy that's called a forgotten man, who's picked up by a young woman of society who's on a scavenger hunt, and on her list is to pick up and bring into the party this forgotten man. And it turns out that he's, you know, actually was a corporate giant, and it's very relevant to what's going on in our world today.
Yeah.
And he becomes their butler. And he transforms their household, which is a group of very spoiled, rich people, and, of course, falls in love with her. And it's a wonderful film, screwball comedy at its very, very best and, yeah. and classic.
One last one to leave us with?
Oh, boy. I think I'm going to put a film out there that I think is, again, a classic film, The Philadelphia Story in the screwball comedy genre. But when you look at Kate Hepburn and Jimmy Stewart and Cary Grant, who are three of my favorite actors, and it's a classy, smart, the dialogue is absolutely brilliant. And it's a great film. Great film.
Jody Kielbasa, he's director of the Virginia Film Festival, which celebrated an all-time attendance record this year. You can learn more online at vafilm.com, and Jody will join us every month to talk film beginning today. Thank you for being here. Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Holidays. Hope you have a great holiday season.
Same to you, Coy. Thanks very much.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit sevillepodcast.com for more.